This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا. من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له. وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله. سبحانك مولانا لا علم لنا إلا ما علمتنا إنك أنت العليم الحكيم. بارك لنا في القرآن العظيم واجعله حجة لنا لا حجة علينا يوم نلقاك يا أرحم الراحمين. واجعل كل أعمالنا خالصة لوجهك الكريم وبارك لنا هذا الجمع يا أرحم الراحمين. All praises due to Allah. We praise Him, we seek His help, we seek His forgiveness. We seek refuge in Allah from the evil of our souls and our deeds. Whomever Allah guides, there is none to misguide. And whomever Allah leads astray, there is none to guide. And I bear witness that there is no God worthy of worship but Allah, and that Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam is his slave servant and messenger. Glory be to you, O Allah, no knowledge have we except that which you have taught us. Indeed, you are the all-knowing, the all-wise. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to bless this gathering and to make it sincere for His sake, and to give us understanding of the noble Qur'an and implementation of it in our life, and make it an intercessor on our part on the Day of Judgment. Dear brothers and sisters, we continue the tafsir of Surah Al-Mulk, and we had discussed before the verses that speak about the creation of the seven heavens above each other, and how this is showing the perfection of the creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He is referring there to human beings to look up to the heavens to see if they find any discrepancy in it or inconsistency. So what he's directing you to see there is that his creation is perfect. And you'll see now that the next coming verses are directing you to observe something slightly different. There he's telling you the creation is perfect. The heavens are perfect. Look at them and try to find gaps. And try to find inconsistencies, and you won't be able to. In a, the usual challenging manner of the Qur'an. And this is, by the way, one of the things that attracts the Qur'an even to non-Muslims. These challenges. As we know, the famous story of the brother who became Muslim after he read Alif Lam Mim, ذَلِكَ الْكِتَابُ لَا رَيْبَ فِيهِ هُدَى لِلْمُتَّقِينَ. You know the story, right? No? He read just the beginning, and as he starts any other book, right, he's looking the Noble Quran. He wants to see written by who's the author. It's not clear who's the author of this book. So he opens it up. There's no introduction. There's no anything. Alif Lam Mim. This is a book in which there is no doubt. Have you ever seen a book in your life starting out that way? This was one of the main reasons he became Muslim. He said all other books start out by the author apologizing for his inconsistencies and his mistakes. And here is a book starting out by saying there is no doubt in this book. It is a perfect book. Subhanallah, an interesting observation, seeing it that way. And this is the way of the Qur'an. Allah Azza wa Jal challenges people. This is a book in which there is no doubt. Similarly here, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is challenging all of humanity. Look up at the heavens and see if you can find inconsistencies. And He calls on you to repeat that glance. Look again, once and twice, and then He tells you, look again three times and four times. Keep looking, in other words, look as much as you want. You won't find anything. This is the strength of the Qur'an. And when He says, تُمَرْجِعِ الْبَصَرَ كَرَّتَيْنِ يَنْقَلِبْ إِلَيْكَ الْبَصَرُ خَاسِئًا وَهُوَ حَسِيرٌ. Another, what's the word? It's also a challenging statement. Your vision will come back disgraced and fatigued. In other words, don't even try. he already gave you the conclusion. And if you really tried it, and we should try it, and we should apply the words of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in our life, try it and see. Your vision will come back disgraced, because you will not find any gaps or inconsistencies, and it will come back fatigued. It will be tired. You keep looking and you're trying to see something. You cannot. And eventually you look back and your vision is tired. It is the perfection of the creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Brothers and sisters, it is also interesting how Allah Azza wa Jal is calling on Muslims and non-Muslims and the world at large to look up and to stop looking horizontally. Start looking vertically. You and I and people are used to looking just upon what is in dunya. And it is metaphorically representative of people just looking at this worldly life. That's all. But when you look up, you're looking for something else. You're looking for the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You're looking to see the marvels of the creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. How many Muslims nowadays look up? Especially in our world today and our living in these civilized societies, in the cities. We no longer live out in the rural areas, right? So all we see around us usually are tall buildings, signs of the hour. And these buildings, to a large extent, are not allowing us to look up. When is the last time you looked up? Really? Now if you looked recently, mashallah, alhamdulillah. But you might think to yourself, yeah, it's been a long time I haven't looked at the sky. I haven't looked at the heavens. Allah Azza wa Jal is telling you to look at the heavens because it is one of the greatest signs and indications of Allah's greatness and magnificence. The heavens and the earth. Allah Azza wa Jal said in the Quran, as we know, لَخَلْقُ السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ أَكْبَرُ مِنْ خَلْقِ النَّاسِ. The creation of the heavens and the earth is greater than the creation of people, of humanity. This great creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He said it in the other surah, right? أَأَنْتُمْ أَشَدُّ خَلْقًا أَمِ السَّمَاءَ بَنَاهَا. Right? To the end of the verses. That are you greater in creation or the heavens that Allah Azza wa Jal built? Look up at the sky and see the magnificence of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala through the magnificence of what He created. And look up at the sky and ponder and deliberate. And this is part of the way of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He used to look at the heavens and he used to ponder and deliberate. And the hadith tells us that Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, when he used to get up for qiyam, he would get up in the middle of the night, he would go out and look at the heavens as you should, as Allah Azza wa Jal commanded, and he would recite the verses from where? From which surah? Ali Imran, right? Inna fi khalq al-samawati wal-ard wa ikhtilaf al-layli wal-nahar la-ayatin li-uli al-albab. How يعني, pertinent the glance of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam and his recitation of these verses. Indeed, there is in the creation of the heavens and the earth, there are verses and signs for those of intellect. So this is how we should be, and this is an indication to stop looking at the worldly life and to think about the afterlife and to ponder and deliberate. And this is really a form of worship, brothers and sisters, that we have to a large extent neglected. Pondering and deliberation. When's the last time you just went alone just to deliberate over the marvels of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in His creation, and notwithstanding the seven heavens above?
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم ولقد زينا السماء الدنيا بمصابيح وجعلناها رجوما للشياطين وأعتدنا لهم عذاب السعير.
And we have certainly beautified the nearest heaven with lamps, i.e. stars, and have made from them what is thrown at the devils, and have prepared for them the punishment of the blaze. Brothers and sisters, as the previous verses were pointing and directing our attention to the perfection of the creation of Allah Azza wa Jal, now He's directing you to the beauty of the creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
And those, as you know, are different. For something may be perfect, but it is not necessarily beautiful. Something may not be inconsistent, but it may not necessarily be decorated or beautified. Allah Azza wa Jal beautified the heavens with the stars. And indeed, they are decoration for the heavens, right? And he says, وَلَقَدْ زَيَّنَّا السَّمَاءَ الدُّنْيَا بِمَصَابِيحِ. When you look up at the sky, imagine if there weren't the stars. It would be quite different, right? The stars are truly one of the beautifying factors of the heavens. وَلَقَدْ زَيَّنَّا السَّمَاءَ الدُّنْيَا بِمَصَابِيحِ. Notice he mentioned السَّمَاءَ الدُّنْيَا, the nearest heaven. And this is why I told you that this is it's a possible interpretation, and according to some scholars of tafsir, that this is referring to السَّمَاءَ الدُّنْيَا, meaning that everything we are seeing, this is all part of السَّمَاءَ الدُّنْيَا, the nearest heaven only. And the seven heavens above are in the knowledge of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, of the most knowledgeable. Who knows what is above this? Who knows what is beyond the universe? Every time astronomers went out and they thought they had gone far enough, and then they discovered that there is still much more, and they keep discovering further and further stars and further galaxies. This universe is just something else. And when I think, wallahi, about the fact that there is a spaceship that has been moving in space since I was born, really it is staggering. You know this, right? Voyager 1 and 2. They were launched in 77 when I was born. It has been traveling in space until now. For the last 30 years, Allahu Akbar. And it is only discovering more and more of the universe and sending back information and pictures and so on. And now astronomers are saying, or they're theorizing, that they are getting to some edge of the universe and things like that. Subhanallah, it's amazing to think. I mean, this spaceship going as fast as it is has been going for 30 years. And still, it probably has not traversed anything of the universe that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created. Really, it's mind-boggling. It's something that we cannot fathom. And we cannot but say, subhanallah al-azim, glory be to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala who has created this. So if all of these stars are part of the sama' al-dunya, then you can only imagine what is left. And this you may never ever discover. So enjoy and ponder it in this dunya, and benefit from it. In the other interpretation, that some of these stars may be from the higher heavens, and as the lower heavens are transparent, you are seeing it through that. Allahu ta'ala a'lam what is the correct interpretation. وَلَقَدْ زَيَّنَّا السَّمَاءَ الدُّنْيَا بِمَصَابِيحِ. What did he call them? He called them masabih, lamps. You may go by that, as we usually do. Lamps, they are lighting and decorating and beautifying the sky. It is interesting that some of today's scientists are now, they are saying what the Quran said 14 centuries ago. Anyone can tell you that these stars are lighting the sky. It's no miracle. But when you think that, when you look at the word, some of today's scientists are now using this very word. Not lamps, but more correctly something like a flashlight. And they are calling some of the oldest stars, which are the quasars, billions of light years away, the brightest in the universe. You know what they call them? They call them cosmic flashlights. Allahu Akbar. They're agreeing with the Quran. Notice I didn't say the Quran agrees with them. They are agreeing with the Quran. They are, or the Quran is corroborating what they're saying. If this is what they are discovering, because the Quran is corroborating, meaning they cannot corroborate the Quran. The Quran corroborates what you are saying because it is proof that what you are saying is correct because you agreed with it. And if you turn out to be wrong, the Quran remains right and you will discover it in the future. But it's just interesting that they are using this phrase now, subhanAllah. Some of the brightest stars, they called it cosmic flashlights. Why? Because of its brightness and because they said word by word, according to one of the astronomers in NASA, that it is illuminating everything across its path, coming to us, and that this light is coming from billions of years. It is a cosmic flashlight into the early universe. وَلَقَدْ زَيَّنَّا السَّمَاءَ الدُّنْيَا بِمَصَابِيحِ. This could be a reference to some of these oldest stars which people now call the quasars. وَلَقَدْ زَيَّنَّا السَّمَاءَ الدُّنْيَا بِمَصَابِيحَ وَجَعَلْنَاهَا رُجُومًا لِلشَّيَاطِينَ. And we have made them, and he says, i.e. stars. This is not very, let's call it accurate. Why? They said stars.
That's the translation.
Yes, i.e. stars. But the stars are lamps or flashlights. I'll give you a hint. Only stars?
No.
What else do you have in the heavens? Planets, barakallahu feek. Planets are also light or not? They're not?
Comets.
Comets. No, the planets also light. You can see it's light. Right, it's not gaseous, but you can see it. And there are times where they tell you, now Mars, you can see and it is off red and so on, and it has a small light. Allah Azza wa Jal said, in Surah As-Saffat, إِنَّا زَيَّنَّا السَّمَاءَ الدُّنْيَا بِزِينَةٍ الْكَوَاكِبِ. So there, he also mentioned that he decorated the heavens with a decoration, but he mentioned kawakib, planets. Here he is saying bimasabih. So this can be a reference to the stars and the planets as well. Wallahu ta'ala a'lam. If we claim that indeed the two terms in the Quran are not synonymous. If we claim that the terms are not synonymous and planets mean something and stars mean something, and there is evidence that that is the case, if we look at, and we'll come to it inshallah in Juz'a Amma, we'll see if Allah Azza wa Jal gives us life inshallah, we'll see some of the meanings that show us how the planets are differentiated from the stars. So both of them are masabih, and they are a decoration for the sky, or rather they are a decoration for the sky. The flashlight is another issue, right? But they are both a decoration for the sky, as in the other ayah. بِمَصَابِيحَ وَجَعَلْنَاهَا رُجُومًا لِلشَّيَاطِينَ. And we have made them, or we have made from them, what is thrown at the devils. رُجُومًا لِلشَّيَاطِينَ. This is a reference to the fact that the evil of the jinn, who are trying to know of the news of the unseen from the heavens, from the angels, they are trying to get that information, and then they start throwing it to their assistants, who are the soothsayers and the magicians here in the dunya. And the thing is, they are not able to, because what happens is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala throws at them a shooting star, or you can call it a flame, okay, as in the other term also mentioned in the Quran, whereby they are at least incapacitated from transmitting that information to the people below. وَجَعَلْنَاهَا رُجُومًا لِلشَّيَاطِينَ. Ibn Kathir says this is not referring to the stars themselves. Allah Azza wa Jal is not throwing the star at the devil, but He is throwing a part of it And this is a possible interpretation for what is happening. Or some flame being thrown from it at the devil, incapacitating him from transmitting that information. وَجَعَلْنَاهَا رُجُومًا لِلشَّيَاطِينِ. And this is why the famous Imam of Tafsir Qutada said that the stars are one of three, or rather they are three things. They are a decoration for the heavens. They are something that is thrown at the devils, which incapacitates them. And they are a guidance for people. Right? As in the other surah where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told us that وَعَلَمَاتْ وَبِالنَّجْمِ هُمْ يَهْتَدُونَ. Right? They are guided by the stars, they use the stars for guidance. These are three benefits that we have for the stars. وَجَعَلْنَاهَا رُجُومًا لِلشَّيَاطِينَ. You can see the detail of this issue from some of the ahadith. This one is from Sahih al-Bukhari. It is narrated on the authority of Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu. He says, Allah's Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, when Allah decrees some order in the heaven, the angels flutter their wings, indicating complete surrender to his saying, which sounds like chains being dragged on rock. And when the state of fear disappears, they ask each other, what has your Lord ordered? They say that he has said that which is true and just, and he is the Most High, the Most Great. Then the stealthy listeners, devils, hear this order, and these stealthy listeners are like this, one over the other. Sufyan, a sub-narrator, demonstrated that by holding his hand upright and separating the fingers. They are one above another. A stealthy listener hears a word which he will convey to that which is below him, and the second will convey it to that which is below him, till the last of them will convey it to the wizard or foreteller. Sometimes a flame, fire may strike the devil before he can convey it, and sometimes he may convey it before the flame, fire strikes him. Whereupon the wizard adds to that word 100 lies. The people will then say, didn't he, the magician, tell such and such a thing on such and such date? So that magician is said to have told the truth because of the statement which has been heard from the heavens. So when some of the Sahaba heard about Prophet Muhammad ﷺ, and he was saying that the soothsayers are liars and so on, and they said, but sometimes what they say really comes true. But he was saying that this is not something that they do on their own. They are taking, this is not from their own talent. They're taking some of that information from the devils. The devils usually will be destroyed or incapacitated from transmitting that information by the flames. And this is one of the functions of these stars. وَجَعَلْنَاهَا رُجُومًا لِلشَّيَاطِينَ. These flashlights or these lamps, Allah Azza wa Jal has made as something by which to throw at the devils to incapacitate them from transmitting information. There is also an interpretation, but it is less popular, by some scholars of tafsir, that this meaning is, وَجَعَلْنَاهَا رُجُومًا لِلشَّيَاطِينَ, meaning شَيَاطِينَ الْإِنْسِ. Not an actual throwing, but that these stars that you see, this is something by which the shayateen of humanity, they use it to claim certain things about knowing the future, as with people who follow the stars and they claim to know certain things and certain information by the stars and the constellations and things like that, right? وَجَعَلْنَاهَا رُجُومًا لِلشَّيَاطِينَ. رُجُومًا here meaning they are just throwing things into the dark, they are guessing, they are conjecturing, and all it is conjecture and surmise, and there is no reality in it, whereby they use the stars. And of course we know that the stars are not behind anything that happens in this universe. This is kufr wal-ayadu billah, as in the famous hadith of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that the people of Jahiliyyah, they used to say that rain came down to us because of such and such star and things of that nature. But there is that interpretation also. وَجَعَلْنَاهَا رُجُومًا لِلشَّيَاطِينَ. وَأَعْتَدَنَا لَهُمْ عَذَابَ السَّعِيرِ. So not only will they be thrown at, or a flame will incapacitate them, they also will have the punishment of the blaze in the hereafter. So it is punishment and disgrace in the dunya and punishment in the hereafter. And by the way, many scholars also said that even before Prophet Muhammad ﷺ, devils were stoned, if you will, or stars or flames were cast at them, but that in the time of Prophet Muhammad ﷺ, the protection of the heavens became much better and much stronger. So it was a much stronger fortress after the coming of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And there is a verse that supports this in Surah Al-Jinn when we get there, inshaAllah. وَأَعْتَدْنَا لَهُمْ عَذَابَ السَّعِيرِ. May Allah Azza wa Jal protect us from السَّعِيرِ. السَّعِيرِ is said to be the worst and the blazing fire of hellfire. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect us from it.
وَلِلَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا بِرَبِّهِمْ عَذَابُ جَهَنَّمَ وَبِئْسَ الْمَصِيرِ.
And for those who disbelieved in their Lord is the punishment of hell, and wretched is the destination. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is telling us that not only the shayateen, not only the devils of the jinn, and they are the ones who go up and they try to hear of the information that is being transmitted and so on. Not only are they destined for hellfire, but the disbelievers also. وَلِلَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا بِرَبِّهِمْ. So this is referring not to the shayateen of jinn, this is referring to the shayateen of ins, the disbelievers who are destined for hellfire forever. وَلِلَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا بِرَبِّهِمْ عَذَابُ جَهَنَّمْ وَبِئْسَ الْمَصِيرُ. So their punishment also will be hellfire, and wretched is the destination. This is a reality that even the disbelievers may to a certain extent be benefited by. Don't immediately assume that hiding these things from the disbelievers is a good thing. No. There has to be targhib and tarheeb. There has to be giving hope and at the same time warning. And Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam warned. And I remember one of the non-Muslims, he asked me straight, if I do not become a Muslim and if I don't do and if I don't believe and so on and so forth, am I destined to be punished? Can I answer other than yes? You have to. This is what our Islam tells us. By the way, this was a guiding factor to him. There are people who may find that, who may benefit from that. Don't immediately assume that they will not. وَلِلَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا بِرَبِّهِمْ عَذَابُ جَهَنَّمُ وَبِئْسَ الْمَصِيرِ. It's scary. You and I maybe are not moved by these verses because we hope, and we are all hope, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will have mercy on us and send us to paradise and protect us from hellfire. But when you think for a minute that my abode may be eternal hellfire, وَالْعِيَادُ بِاللَّهِ, it's shaking. It'll shake them, it'll make them tremble if they are to be guided to the religion of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
وَلِلَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا بِرَبِّهِمْ عَذَابُ جَهَنَّمُ وَبِئْسَ الْمَصِيرُ. إِذَا أُلْقُوا فِيهَا سَمِعُوا لَهَا شَهِيقًا وَهِيَ تَفُورُ.
When they are thrown into it, they hear from it a dreadful inhaling while it boils up. My brothers and sisters, hellfire is not something to joke about. Hellfire is serious. And hellfire is the scariest thing that exists in this dunya. And everything that you see that is scary in this dunya pales in comparison to the punishment of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And everything that you see in this dunya, which you consider punishment or torture, pales in comparison to the punishment of hellfire. Do not even compare between the two. And if you are to count and enumerate the punishment in hellfire and compare it to paradise, you will see two completely different worlds. Allah Azza wa Jal tells us clearly, and this is one of the characteristics of hellfire. He says, when they are thrown into it, they hear from it a dreadful inhaling while it boils up. سَمِعُوا لَهَا شَهِيقًا. Some of the scholars of tafsir likened this sound or inhaling to the sound of a donkey. The sound of a donkey, a repulsive sound as they are inhaling, okay, and they described it as a sound that comes from the chest. This inhaling comes from hellfire when they are thrown into it and it pulls them. They are dragged into it. إِذَا أُلْقُوا فِيهَا سَمِعُوا لَهَا شَهِيقًا. They will hear this dreadful inhaling in it. Hellfire is alive, my dear brothers and sisters. And this is what shows you that, and some of the ahadith as we'll see. Hellfire is alive. Hellfire is something else. The size of hellfire we know. 70 years a stone falls until it reaches the depths of hellfire. Hellfire is to accommodate the trillions of human beings who disbelieved in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and who deserved His wrath and His punishment. So what is this hellfire? Pulled by 5 billion angels on the day of judgment, and when it is brought and people see it, one of the characteristics, it's dreadful inhalation. Another dreadful characteristic is its exhalation, its zafir. And this they can hear from far away. As Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, إِذَا رَأَتْهُمْ مِنْ مَكَانٍ بَعِيدٍ سَمِعُوا لَهَا تَغَيُّضًا وَزَفِيرًا. If it saw them, if hellfire saw them from a far location, they will hear from it تَغَيُّضًا, right? Similar to this irritation, right? وَزَفِيرًا, an exhalation. It exhales an exhalation, brothers and sisters, that will cause all of humanity to drop to its knees. Even the prophets, peace be upon them all, even Sayyidina Ibrahim will drop to his knees upon seeing this and ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for protection. Sayyidina Ibrahim alayhi salam. This is something else. This is beyond our imagination. Let hellfire and let the fire of hellfire, let it move you and let it wake up our dead hearts into fearing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and working to protect ourselves from hellfire. Here we hear about the dreadful inhalation when they are thrown into it, and we hear about its boiling. وَهِيَ تَفُورُ. Mujahid rahimahullah said that this is like the boiling of a pot. It's like they are like peas boil in a pot. This is how they will boil in hellfire. Hellfire is alive. As you heard in the previous ayah, إِذَا رَأَتْهُمْ مِنْ مَكَانٍ بَعِيدٍ. In the hadith of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and it is authentic, he mentioned to us that hellfire on the day of judgment will drag out its neck. A neck will come out from hellfire and it will hear and it will see. So it is alive. It is boiling. It is inhaling and it is exhaling. It sees and it hears, my dear brothers and sisters. What have you and I done to protect ourselves from the punishment of hellfire? Wal-iyadu billah. Hellfire, when you know it, when you know it, hellfire will not allow you to sleep. If we really realize what hellfire is, and we think that we may be thrown for a second, for an instant in hellfire, wallahi, it will not allow us to sleep. As Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, a person dipped in hellfire, who had all of the pleasures of this dunya and all of the blessings of this dunya, just one dip in hellfire will make them forget everything. Allahu Akbar. Brothers and sisters, what are you and I doing? What have we done to protect ourselves from the punishment of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? And Allah azza wa jal is the most just and He is the most merciful. The ones who are being thrown into that hellfire are only those who deserve it, as we'll see. إِذَا أُلْقُوا فِيهَا سَمِعُوا لَهَا شَهِيقًا وَهِيَ تَفُورُ. It is boiling and it is waiting for them. تَكَادُ تَمَيَّزُ مِنَ الْغَيْظِ كُلَّمَا أُلْقِيَ فِيهَا فَوْجٌ سَأَلَهُمْ خَزَنَتُهَا أَلَمْ يَأْتِكُمْ نَذِيرٌ. It almost bursts with rage every time a company is thrown into it. Its keepers ask them, did there not come to you a warner? It almost not bursts, but it is, يعني, it's almost separating. It is coming apart. What the scholars said that this means, تَكَادُ تَمَيَّز. تَمَيَّز means it is separating from itself. Why? Because of its غيظ, its rage. It's irritated at seeing the kuffar. It's irritated at seeing the disbelievers. It's irritated because of the wrath of its Lord. As Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, on this day, He will never be angrier than on this day. It itself will separate, تَكَادُ تَمَيَّز. It is separating in rage because of the rage of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala when it sees the disbelievers. Hellfire itself hates what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala hates. And because it hates what Allah azza wa jal hates, when it sees the disbelievers, when it sees the despots and the tyrants and those who left the worship of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, it itself, because of its rage, it is almost as if it is going to separate. Look at this description. And this is what some of the Arabs, yani, this is how they used to describe a person's rage. And it is out of exaggeration. And they would say that a person was so yani, enraged, right, and angry and irritated, that he split apart and part of him went to the heavens and the other went down to the earth. This is the meaning. It is so irritated and enraged on this day that it is almost separating from itself. تَكَادُ تَمَيَّزُ مِنَ الْغَيْبِ. Allahu Akbar. Because of the wrath of its Lord. And because it is irritated and annoyed and enraged by those who disbelieved in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and who left His worship and who punished people and who oppressed people and who didn't help people and who didn't worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and who associated partners with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this is the case with all of the creation of Allah azza wa jal, which glorifies Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, including paradise and hellfire. Because all creation submits to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, it is only the disbelievers of humanity and jinn who left the worship of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Otherwise, all creation glorifies Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and prostrates to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And here we see the example even of hellfire subhanallah being irritated with the disbelievers. And brothers and sisters, it is almost to show you, if you are angry with hellfire, don't be angry with hellfire. Be angry at yourself. And be angry at those who deserve the hellfire. Otherwise, hellfire is angry for the anger of its Lord. And hellfire hates the disbelievers. And this is a good thing. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, out of His justice, made it an abode for those who deserve it, for the wrongdoers and for the disbelievers who left Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and didn't work for this day and therefore deserved this punishment. تَكَادُ تَمَيَّزُ مِنَ الْغَيْضِ كُلَّمَا أُلْقِيَ فِيهَا فَوْجٌ سَأَلَهُمْ خَزَنَتُهَا أَلَمْ يَأْتِكُمْ نَذِيرٌ. Brothers and sisters, in the hadith, or it is a narration on the authority of Ibn Abbas, and Ibn Jarir al-Tabari has narrated this, and Ibn Kathir said that the chain or the status of this hadith is good, and the chain of narration is one that is acceptable. He said that a person will be taken, he will be dragged to hellfire, and then hellfire will It's almost like it will close upon itself, and then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will ask it, what is wrong with you? And it will say that he is seeking your protection from me. So he will say, let my slave servant go. Allahu Akbar. Arsilu abdi. Let my slave servant go. And then another person will be dragged to the fire. And he will say, oh Lord, this was not my estimate of you. In other words, he was thinking that Allah Azza wa Jal will treat him better. So Allah will tell him, what did you think? And he said, I thought that your mercy will encompass me, it will include me. And tasa'ni rahmatuk. So he will say, let my slave servant go. And then a person will be dragged to the fire. And the hellfire will inhale a great inhalation to take him, and then it will exhale another exhalation which will cause every single human being to be dead afraid of it. May Allah Azza wa Jal protect you and me from the hellfire. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala guide us to doing what protects us from hellfire. كلما ألقي فيها فوج سألهم خزانتها ألم يأتكم نذير. If this, the punishment of hellfire, is not enough for those people, here you have another great punishment, and that is their regret caused by the question of the angels to them. To ask them, every time a company is thrown into it, the keepers will ask, did there not come to you a warner? Can you imagine the situation of the disbelievers on this day? When they are hearing this and they say to themselves, woe to us, how wrong we were, how astray we were, and here this is our destination now. They will be asked, Alam yatikum nadir. The angels will ask them, this is, brothers and sisters, if you want to understand it in another way, look at it in the dunya. When you did something you are so regretful of, and you are feeling downright awful, and then someone comes to you and they are speaking to you and they keep hammering and saying, how can you do that? How did you do that? How audacious you are! How awful you are! What an egregious mistake this is! You are already feeling awful, and that person is only adding to your regret. Can you imagine how you would feel? This is nothing compared to the Day of Judgment. How will the disbelievers feel? That their eternal abode is this. And not only that, the angels are condemning them and they're asking them this question, did not a warner come to you? And they know full well the warners came to them, and they don't have any option but to reply. قَالُوا بَلَىٰ قَدْ جَاءَنَا نَذِيرٌ فَكَذَّبْنَا وَقُلْنَا مَا نَزَّلَ اللَّهُ مِنْ شَيْءٍ إِنْ أَنْتُمْ إِلَّا فِي ضَلَالٍ كَبِيرٍ. They will say, yes, a warner had come to us. They have no option, brothers and sisters. They will say, yes, a warner had come to us, but we denied and said, Allah has not sent down anything. You are not but in great error. They will say, yes. Can they say anything else? Can they lie? They cannot but say the truth. Yes, O Allah, a warner had come to us, but we denied and said, Allah has not sent down anything. You are not but in great error. A warner came to us. What did they say? They denied. They denied. Look at the disbelief and the arrogance of people who are making claims they have no information about and they have no proof for. They denied the messengers who came to them. And not only that, they were so bold as to say, Allah has not sent down a warner. What are these people who came to you? Did they not come and did they not warn you? They had the audacity to say to those prophets and messengers, you are not but in great error. People that Allah Azza wa Jal chose for you out of humanity to guide you, and you say to them, you are not but in great error? Can you not at least have some intellect and just يعني, put the possibility that maybe they are correct. One poet, who was not pious by the way, but when he يعني, thought of it logically, he said, if I don't believe, or if I believe in them, then, and if they are correct, then I would have gained everything there is to gain. And if they are not correct, I wouldn't have lost anything. So I might as well follow them. But if I don't follow them, then there is, I would have lost everything, and there is everything to lose. So why not follow them in the first place? And if they turn out to be incorrect, then the consequences at least are not great loss. So didn't you put the possibility that maybe they have come to you with the truth? They denied. And they said, you are not but in great error. And you can imagine the situation of the Prophet or Messenger who heard this. Alayhi salatu wassalam. Calling his people to guidance. His heart full of compassion for his people, only wanting to save them from the hellfire, and they are saying to him, you are not but in great error. It makes the heart of the messenger bleed. We know this was the case with Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him. We know this was the case with the prophets before him, peace be upon them all. Sayyidina Yunus alayhi salam became so angry, he went out to the sea. Of course, his life and the lives of the messengers were to see their people be saved on the day of judgment. And they are saying, they are denying and saying, you are not but in great error.
وَقَالُوا لَوْ كُنَّا نَسْمَعُ أَوْ نَعْقِلُ مَا كُنَّا فِي أَصْحَابِ السَّعِيرِ.
And they will say, if only we had been listening or reasoning, we would not be among the companions of the blaze. Allahu Akbar. Did you see now, brothers and sisters, that they themselves will realize how wrong they were? They themselves will realize how sinful they were. We mentioned this recently, that they are fully aware on the day of judgment of how wrong and sinful they were. And this is one of those examples. They will say, they will be saying, if only we had been listening or reasoning, we would not be among the companions of the blaze. But you listened. You heard the da'wah of the messenger. You heard the invitation to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But there's a difference between one who listens with their ears and one who listens with their heart. They heard it with their ears, but that's all. It didn't go beyond this sense. It didn't go to their hearts. وَقَالُوا لَوْ كُنَّا نَسْمَعْ أَوْ نَعْقِلْ. They know more than even you and me how much they were in error. Because they now realize that they were criminals. They were criminals because they abandoned the rights of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And for their whole life. And they denied the messengers that came to them. And they are the ones who are feeling this regret. God willing, you and I will not regret, I hope, inshaAllah. But they will be in full regret. And they will realize how much they were in error. وَقَالُوا لَوْ كُنَّا نَسْمَعْ أَوْ نَعْقِلْ مَا كُنَّا فِي أَصْحَابِ السَّعِيرِ. They know it even more than you and me. Whenever, brothers and sisters, now, if the shaitan casts any doubt into your mind about whether you are on the truth or not, look at this ayah. Whenever you are hearing a disbeliever arguing, and if the shaitan throws something into your heart, did you ever feel it? Did you ever feel it? Something, it's almost like a poke in your heart.
وَقَالُوا لَوْ كُنَّا نَسْمَعُ نَعْقِلْ. Just remember that these people will be saying on the Day of Judgment, if only we heard, if only we listened and we used our reasoning, we would not be of the people of the hellfire. You will find that whatever in your heart is gone. Because you are going, you are fast forwarding to the Day of Judgment to realize their situation. It means what they are throwing here in this dunya at you, this is just part of what the shaitan is throwing at you. But in reality, they are in the greatest error. And this helps you to realize it when you think about the Day of Judgment. They themselves, this is the amazing part, brothers and sisters, that Allah Azza wa Jalla is making them admit it. They will be saying it. Yani imagine the person in front of you who is arguing and seems to be fully convinced of their opinion. They, if they continue that way on the Day of Judgment, they will be saying to themselves, woe to me. If only I heard and listened and reasoned, I would not be of the people of the hellfire or the blaze. If only we listen and reason, we would not be among the companions of the blaze. فَاعْتَرَفُوا بِذَنْبِهِمْ فَسُحْقًا لِأَصْحَابِ السَّعِيرِ. And they will admit their sin. So it is alienation for the companions of the blaze. So they have admitted their sin. And no confession is greater than this confession. And they have confessed on the day when confession is futile. And when regret is useless. Brothers and sisters, if you are to blame yourself, and if you want to confess to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that you have not done enough, and that you have sinned, and you have wronged yourself in the sight of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, regret now. Only that regret, my dear brother and my dear sister, is useful. Regret on the Day of Judgment is futile. Don't be like the disbelievers. Regret now, because only that regret will help you, inshallah, to rectify your condition. But regret on that day will not. They will have finally confessed and admitted their sin, and it is part of the justice of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that He has made themselves witnesses to their error. Because now they cannot say anything. They themselves are saying, if we had reasoned, we would not be of the people of the blaze. It means they have accused themselves of wrong, of lack of intellect, of lack of reasoning, of arrogance. They're accusing themselves. They have admitted their sin. So it means Allah Azza wa Jal has not wronged you. Allah Azza wa Jal has not done an atom's weight of injustice to you when He threw you into the depths of hellfire. But it is you who deserve this, and you who are confessing, and you who are admitting, O disbeliever, that you are the one who did what made you deserve this punishment. It is not Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, it is your own deeds. And Allah Azza wa Jal did not leave you. You just confessed the verse before that Allah sent you a warner. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, وَمَا كُنَّا مُعَذِّبِينَ حَتَّى نَبْعَثَ رَسُولًا. That Allah Azza wa Jal is not to punish anyone until a messenger is sent to them. So the messengers came to you and you admitted it. And here you are confessing your sin. فَاعْتَرَفُوا بِذَنْبِهِمْ فَسُحْقًا لِأَصْحَابِ السَّعِيرِ. سُحْقًا is an Arabic word to mean complete alienation. Alienation or distance. It means be far away. Be cast away as far as possible from the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And they will be cast into the depths of the hellfire wal-ayyadu billah. And they will be punished in it forever. And then, that's not all. They're alive. And they're eating. And they're drinking. And they're, they are alive, but at the same time, they're not alive. ثُمَّ لَا يَمُوتُ فِيهَا وَلَا يَحْيَى. They are not alive. Wallahi, this is no life. But at the same time, they are not dead. And every time their skin burns, Allah Azza wa Jal gives them fresh skins to taste the punishment further. And they are going between hellfire and the hot water. They eat الزقوم والعياذ بالله. They eat this tree. The thorns come in their throats and it makes their throats bleed. And they are eating this. It does not satisfy their hunger. And after they eat this, they only want to drink. And they go and they drink the boiling hot water. And then they want to eat again. So they come back and they eat الزقوم. And they go back and they drink the boiling hot water. And they have hot water over their heads, which makes their intestines come together. Subhanak ya Rabb, may Allah Azza wa Jal protect you and me from it. Brothers and sisters, wallahi, no one with any morsel of intellect leaves hellfire or does not work to protect themselves from hellfire. The wise one is the one who runs away from hellfire and from the punishment of Allah to the mercy of Allah, to the paradise of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The scholars and the learned and the pious, they used to remind themselves with hellfire. Don't say this is the abode of the disbelievers. Who knows how you will die and in what state you will be. Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam is saying, "Ya muqallib al-qulub, thabbit qulubana ala dinik." Oh, one who overturns the hearts, keep our hearts firm on this religion. You don't know. Maybe you have done sins that warrants that you be punished in hellfire and purified. Wal-iyadu billah. Protect yourself from the hellfire, even if it is with a morsel of a date. Hellfire used to wake them up from sleep. Sayyidina Umar ibn Abdul Aziz, when he was reciting even Surah Al-Humazah, he could not finish it. He could not finish the Surah when he comes to the part speaking about hellfire. He could not finish it. He would go back and start over from the beginning of the Surah. And he cannot continue it. He cannot finish it because he is drowning in his tears. They used to remember it. It is as if they used to see it in front of them. And therefore they ran away from it. Therefore, when they used to recite the verses of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, they used to recite it and it was almost like it came to them. It was so real for them that they did everything in their life to protect themselves from it. They sometimes would get to a state of fear and crying. Their families would fear for them. Like Umar ibn Abdul Aziz, rahimahullah. And many of the scholars and the companions, peace be upon them all, they used to feel the same. Sayyidina Umar radiallahu anhu, as strong as he was strong in his religion, he was strong with people, but with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he was the most humble. He used to have dark lines on his face because of his weeping at night, remembering the hereafter, and remembering the hellfire, and hoping for the paradise of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And he is the one who said, subhanallah, that if it was said to all of humanity, all of you are going to paradise except one, he used to say, I would fear that I am that one. Allahu Akbar. Because they realized their shortcomings with respect to their worship of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They realized their shortcomings with respect to the magnificence of Allah Azza wa Jal and the greatness of His right upon them. May Allah Azza wa Jal forgive you and me. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect us from hellfire. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us permanent protection from the hellfire. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us the ability to visualize and understand what hellfire is so that we can do what warrants that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protects us from it. And may Allah azza wa jal make us like the companions about whom Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam told us that they are ones who are remembering hellfire. And the angels, when Allah azza wa jal asked the angels, what are my slave servants seeking refuge in me from? They will say, they seek refuge in you from your hellfire. And he will say to the angels, did they see the hellfire? And the angels will reply, no, O Allah. He said, if they saw it, then they would much more keen on protecting themselves from it. So may Allah Azza wa Jal make us of those. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect us from hellfire. And may Allah Azza wa Jal make our abode the eternal paradise. Barakallahu feekum. Wa akhiru da'wana an alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. Any questions or comments, brothers and sisters?
The debate itself would be non-meaningful.
And I said, what case do you have against us Muslims to say Allah is one? How do you start an argument? How do you cast any doubt? And he said, you couldn't. Because there's not, yeah, you can't exactly that Jesus is God.
Right.
So you can start. They may disagree, they may come back, but they can't find Muslim. They may have issues with some of the rulings.
Exactly. Barakallahu feek. That's why I've tried reiterating this point a lot in da'wah. Avoid going into some of the details of fiqh in da'wah. They'll never understand it. You're trying to convince them of four wives? Muslims don't understand four wives. Wallahi! Do Muslims understand it? Muslims are saying how and why and what and so on. You expect them to understand? Be realistic. And there are things that are not immediately obvious to them. There are things they cannot understand. There are things that they have lived their whole life with. This girl has seen her mother for the last 10 years going out with very little clothes on. This is normal to her. Can you change this in an instant? You cannot. This is not aqidah. This is the difference. So that's why, try to avoid this unless you see that this person is very much influenced by these things. Okay? By some of the social justice of Islam and some of these arguments, and they accept your logic, then you can use that. But otherwise, stick to the principles of Islam. Like the brother said, go to the aqidah. What is your problem that Allah Azza wa Jal is the one and only, and He has no partners, and He has no equal? They cannot say anything. What is your problem when we say the prophets and the messengers all came with the same religion? They came with the religion of Tawheed, declaring the oneness of Allah and that Allah has no partners. And the differences between the religions are minor differences according in terms of the Sharia, in terms of some of the application, some of the jurisprudence of the religion. But the essence of the religion is one. What is your problem with that? They cannot find fault. They say, well, we believe the same. No. But you believe the prophets and the messengers, peace be upon them all, are sinful and they committed some of the greatest sins. They say, well, yeah, that's what the Bible says, or that's what our holy book says. And I say, if I said that about one of your best friends, you would exonerate your best friend of this act, and you're not exonerating your prophet of this act? Subhanallah. Clear things about aqidah. The purity of the aqidah, they can never argue with. Otherwise, they'll argue with you about women's rights in Islam and four wives and terrorism and jihad and all of the things that they see in the reality. Bring them back to the essence of the da'wah. The essence of the da'wah of Islam, the major principles, and leave some of these details. Barakallahu feek. Definitely. They can never argue with that. And I've tried it several times. And they can't argue with this. And that's why, if they're argumentative, they'll keep taking you back to the four wives. They won't stay with the part of the aqidah and the creed and so on. They'll take you back to that. You cannot understand this. I'll try to explain it to them. I won't hide it from them. But, I'm also trying to take them to that which is more important. Allah Azza wa Jalla is not going to ask you, why didn't you marry more than one wife? But Allah is going to ask you, why did you associate partners with him? And why did you not declare his oneness? And so on. And your punishment will be based on the fact that you disbelieved in him and disbelieved in the messenger that came to warn you. Yes, ma'am.
Quran also, that whenever you discuss with the Ahlul Kitab, tell them that come to this common point.
Exactly. Ta'ala ila kalimatin sawa. Right? Definitely. And the idea is, let us come to one word, and that is to declare the oneness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and not to associate partners with Him. This one.
People who
وَمَا كُنَّا مُعَذِّبِينَ حَتَّى نَبْعَثَ رَسُولًا. Those people, as Prophet Muhammad ﷺ said in the authentic hadith, they will be tested. And based on that test, they will either be taken to paradise or hellfire. And this test is يعني, a summary of the test that we went through in this dunya. And Allah Azza wa Jal is most knowledgeable how that occurs, and He doesn't يعني, wrong anybody, even an atom's weight. They are tested, okay, and it's يعني, it's similar to our testing here, and they will then deserve either paradise or hellfire. Wallahu a'lam. Ah, exactly. In fact, يعني, keep remembering that Allah is the most merciful. When you read these verses and the shaitan pokes you and tells you, how can Allah do this? Or how can the punishment be so severe and so on? Look at it the other way. Allah is the most merciful. He's more, when we say this, it's almost like I have more mercy towards this person I'm wondering about than Allah. Allah is a million times more merciful towards His slave servant than you, who you are claiming to be sympathetic for. And yet he deserves that punishment. Oh, that means his sin is so great. That's the way to look at it. Allah is so merciful, and yet they deserve the hellfire. And this is why, like in the other ayah, in Surah Al-Muddathir, the angels will say, مَا سَلَكَكُمْ فِي سَقَرْ. What is it that made you to deserve saqar? Allah is the most merciful. يعني, the slightest thing you could have done to save yourself from hellfire. And this is why, as in the hadith of Prophet Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, that on the day of judgment, Allah Azza wa Jalla will ask the disbeliever, if you could save yourself by, you know, ransoming yourself with all of the gold of the world and so on, he will say, yes, O Allah, I would ransom myself. He would say, you are a liar. I asked you for something much simpler, to worship me and not to associate any partners. And you didn't do it. Right? He was asked to do something much easier and he didn't, or she didn't. And therefore they deserved that punishment. And then they are claiming they would move the world to protect themselves from the punishment of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You are lying. It's a very يعني, precise argument. Like anything else. You ask your child to do something simple, and they don't do it, and then they are regretful, and you punish them, and then they say to you, no, but I would have done something 100 times harder than that. No, I asked you to do something much easier, and you didn't do it. You should have done it. And of course, yani, to Allah belongs the best example. Allahu a'lam. Allah protect us, but this is just this is scratching the surface. There's so much more, and believe me, يعني, if you don't know it, it's a problem, and it's a clear answer to why you cannot visualize it. You don't know the details. The details are there. The details are in the Quran, in the Sunnah, the يعني, precise details. You can يعني, talk about all of the punishment of hellfire and many of the torments of hellfire. This is how you will visualize it. You visualize a country you went to because you went and saw it, or because it was precisely described to you. This is what's happening with hellfire. Why did Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala describe it for us? He could have said, fear the hellfire, a great punishment and a great torment, without any description. Would it have been real for you? No. Why is it not real for us? Because we don't even know the description. Know the description, read it completely, listen to some of the Sheikh Anwar Barakallah Fi has his series on the hereafter, listen to it, listen to the summary of the torments of hellfire, to the na'im, the blessings of paradise and so on, and yani, listen to whatever you can. Know it all, then the journey starts. After you know all the details, then it is another journey for hellfire to become something alive for you. But until then, you haven't even started. You don't even know what it is or what the torments are. You don't know what the pleasures of paradise are. Know precisely what they are, understand it and remember it, and then you will find it will come alive to you. And as you read the Quran and remember the Ahadith, and as you are praying and you are able to visualize it and so on, that is what will, يعني, inshallah, increase your humility. And you're hoping for paradise and you're running away from hellfire.
This punishment is the boiling of the brain. Allah. As a result of, you know, it requires us to look at myself and we're here to really look at ourselves, and I told this before, in a forensic capacity,
yeah.
Look at our life and see, you know, what we need to do to avoid even that 1 second.
You know? I agree.
We take, we disregard things that we consider maybe, oh, this is minor, or, you know, we have no guarantee of any protection.
Of course, of course.
Simply because it may look minor to us, it may mean we can't grasp
exactly
the seriousness of it.
Exactly.
If we haven't grasped, it doesn't mean it's minor.
Yeah, of course not. That's why you remember the hadith, amazing hadith. One dip of the happiest person in the whole world who has never seen any problems or any predicaments. One dip, he forgets his whole life. What is this punishment? This is something else. And by the way, and this is the way of the Salaf also, they used to make hellfire a reality for themselves by touching something hot. Try it. It'll become real. Put your finger in the fire. Try it. Don't hurt yourself, but you'll immediately see that you cannot even put your finger in the fire or turn the hot water on in the shower. Try it and see. Wallahi. Try the wallahi, you will, it'll change your mindset. It'll change your perception. You cannot stand for a few seconds under boiling water in the shower. And this is just the hellfire of, this is the fire of, this is not even fire. This is just hot water. Much less the 70 multiples in the hellfire of Al-Akhirah. And all of the punishments that we were discussing, the hot water being poured over one's head, from which the intestines come together. It's just, it's beyond us, really. Wallahi, we cannot. Wallahi, you cannot stand a second in hellfire. Therefore, protect yourself from hellfire even with half a date. Protect yourself from hellfire, with everything that you can. And make it a reality for yourself. And stop kidding yourself.
Sometimes you barbecue the meat.
Yeah. And you think.
For me, when I look at that, it's charcoal meat.
Brother, one of the Tabi'een, a great scholar, Rabi' ibn Khuthaym. I mentioned him to you before. Friend of Abdullah ibn Mas'ud. The one about whom Prophet Abdullah ibn Mas'ud said to him, if Prophet Muhammad had seen you, he would have loved you. Rabi' ibn Khuthaym saw what you saw. Something in a barbecue. And it was being in a barbecue, he fell unconscious. He imagined himself in that situation, he fell unconscious. And they had to go after him and to try to treat him and put cold water on his face. And Allahu Akbar, these people, they lived it, they saw it, they visualized it, they understood it, they lived their life for paradise and for running away and fleeing from hellfire. Flee to Allah, flee from the punishment of Allah to the mercy of Allah. فَفِرُّوا إِلَى اللَّهِ. Allah Azza wa Jal protect us. Ameen. جزاكم الله خيرا. سبحانك اللهم وبحمدك، نشهد ان لا اله الا انت، نستغفرك ونتوب اليك يا رب.